Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Launchpad series. My name is Baldwin Eng, the show host from Microsoft. With me today is Kurt Reif from Siemens TeamPlay. Kurt, good to have you here.
Baldwin, nice to be here.
Thank you so much. I know that we've been actually thinking about planning this filming for a while, so I feel like I've been reading up on what TeamPlay can do for the healthcare space, and my wife happened to be in the healthcare space too, so every time I get a chance to look at a new solution on the healthcare side, I would jump on right away. So we know that you have some demos you're going to show us today?
Yeah, I can demo a little bit later on.
Great, yes. Awesome. Now, before we do that, can you give us our audience a sense of what's going on in the healthcare space from your vantage point? How are the landscape changing from end user, clinician, and so on?
So basically, when you look at healthcare today, there are major changes in a lot of countries that go from value for or from fee for service, so everything that you do is going to get paid for, to fee for value, meaning you're only going to get paid if you do the right thing at the right time with the right measure.
Right.
That changes the reimbursement model for hospitals, it changes the reimbursement model for physicians, and it means that you really have to now look at your operational efficiency in the hospital. Mm-hmm. You have to look at are your people qualified enough to get the job done. Of course, you want to entertain your patients so that they come back. And last but not least, you have to reduce costs, for I think there is a lot of cost spending today that is not needed.
Yeah, that's right. A little bit out of control sometimes.
A little bit, yeah. Especially in the US, yes.
Right. Which is what I was going to ask you is, with this kind of change in fee for value, are you seeing it first and foremost in Europe first, and or are you seeing it in the United States too and other parts of the country?
I think it's well known that the US has by far the most costly system. Mm-hmm. And I think based part of that costly system is the fact that up to the past, everything got paid what you were doing in healthcare.
Correct.
So there were no regulating measures in place. And I think Obamacare, you can think about it what you want, but the idea of putting money forward only if you are really delivering on something, mm-hmm. it's unilaterally supported, even by the most conservative Republicans.
Yeah.
So that even if they take over, that's not going to change.
Right. Yeah. So we're definitely, especially given the election coming up, there's a lot of energy about how to further improve healthcare, I think, from a policy standpoint.
Yeah, well, there are going to be some major changes if the Republicans win and some minor changes if the Democrats win.
Right. So, but since it's a tech show, we're going to stay on the technical side. So can you jump in and maybe give us a sense of what are the top benefits a clinician or ultimately the patients can take advantage of the TeamPlay solution?
So when we from Siemens Healthcare talk about our solutions, then we normally talk about the big machines, the computer tomography and magnetic resonance and mm-hmm. PET CTs. And so that's where our comfort zone is. Now the problem when looking at these devices and over underutilization, cost position and stuff like that, there is a lack of data when it comes to looking at the performance or underperformance of those pretty expensive devices. Mm-hmm. So in order to make decisions on operations, on quality, you first and foremost need data. So what we have come up with is a solution that grabs machine data in a large format from every imaging IT device that produces this data under a certain standard, which is called DICOM, mm-hmm. which is an international standard for image communication.
Right.
And we can grab those data, we can anonymize the data, and we upload them to Microsoft Azure Cloud. And from there, we actually stream the data back based on the application you want to use it for. Mm-hmm. By doing that, you can actually connect your institution, you can connect with others, you can compare yourself if you want to in the cloud to other institutions that serve the same potential customer base, and you can collaborate in the cloud mm-hmm. on certain topics.
Right. And as I understand it, the data is not only just about the results of those scans, but also the parameters you're using the machines for, because sometimes there could be a variation from one technician to the next.
That's true. So basically what the machine data tell you are, for example, where is the machine located? Many institutions have a lot of outpatient centers.
Right.
It tells you what body part are you examining for. You, of course, you need different scan protocols and different X-ray parameters for examining different body parts, mm-hmm. it tells you who is operating the machine, so it can be that some have slot times of 20 minutes and some have slot times of 30 minutes, and it has something to do with experienced radiographers or inexperienced radiographers. Mm-hmm. Right. So you can basically determine how is my operation doing in my department or institute.
Right, so you can help with ultimate outcome on the patient side, but also kind of upstream other operators doing it efficiently.
Correct.
To derive that outcome. So Kurt, this is great. So why don't you walk us through sort of how the data flows from the edges into the cloud?
Okay, it's actually relatively easy. Every medical imaging device sends image into a picture archiving and communication system, mm-hmm. where normally the physician sits and does his reading and reporting. Together with the image is a set of data coming, so-called DICOM header data, which mm-hmm. is basically, as I said, this international standard for images. And DICOM header data speak about the machine performance, who is doing what, all the things I explained before. Mm-hmm. So we're gathering these DICOM header data. We don't take the images, we only take the data, and then we basically put them all together into the cloud.
Right.
Yeah, and then once they're in the cloud, we stream them back, depending on the application, to every device that speaks to the internet.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, you could have different clusters of these scanners in different clinics. You can basically do an all-up view of
Correct.
How things are going.
You
and
could
slice and dice by demographics and
you
maybe
could
even technician groups.
Hundreds of devices. Yeah, you can do it internationally and nationally. We hope to build a community of users that is actually global. We think that we have roughly about 60 to 100,000 devices as Siemens Healthcare
right.
in the world, but it doesn't stop at the Siemens device. It also takes the data from every other company that
okay.
speaks this language, DICOM.
Right, I see. And is how advanced is this protocol being adopted or standard? Is it pretty
Yes, it's pretty much followed. I think it's probably about 98 to 99%.
Okay.
There are always small private DICOM tags that some people are adding, but in general, it's very well accepted, and it's the only way you can communicate images through systems anyhow. So that's
yeah.
why it was an agreement which was very important. It's already, I think, about 2 decades old.
Right, okay, excellent. So maybe this is another workflow that would be worth discussing, is how this actually help with the continuous improvement of the healthcare.
So as I explained, you want to have data. And once you have data, you can actually create dashboards. And once you look at the dashboard, and you look at the dashboard on a daily or weekly basis, you can try and optimize your cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So by looking at those data, for example, by looking at usability data, by looking at the protocols that you're using, you can basically determine if there is change needed, where there are outliers, and what needs to be done from an operational perspective.
Right.
And the idea is, of course, like we do in other industries, following a continuous improvement circle.
Right. Okay, great. Well, I think at this point, we're all kind of itchy to see the real thing, so why don't we jump right in?
Yeah, we can do that, of
okay.
course.
Cool.
So let's assume I'm a department manager and I want to know how I'm doing. So in this case, I'm going to look at my dashboard in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And this dashboard, as you can see, shows two of those modules that I was talking about. It shows the dose on a high level, and it shows the usability or the usage of the system on a high level. And we wanted to build the dashboard in a way that it's actually self-explaining. So
mm-hmm.
we don't want to spend a lot of time sending people out trying to explain people how to use the system.
Right.
We want to make it easy to use and interactive. And that is also color-coded. So for example, when you look at the dose here, which we compare against a national reference, like in the US, the American College of Radiology dose
uh-huh.
levels, it shows 51 events in this time frame that are going to be questionable in terms of dose.
Oh, I see.
So by pressing on those 51, I get a determination where they have occurred, when they have occurred.
Right.
And when I go down, it actually tells me exactly what modality has been involved, which body region those overdoses has happened, which location the device is, and who was the operator.
I see.
So that's basically the kind of drill down that you want. You want to have a high level overview that points you exactly into the direction what is bad. And then you basically want to drill down and say, okay, where was it?
Yeah. Right.
And in this case, it says that it was one angiography, one CT. When you look at the body region, it tells you it was in the entire body, whole body exams, it was on the breast, abdomen, and so on. Mm-hmm. So you can really drill down and find out where exactly has that been and who actually has been operating the machine.
Right. And, so and that, it looks like in this case, there's a this particular person over here is like 29% of the infraction, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So, yeah? So by doing that, you would actually really drill down to the location and to the operator, and then you can grab the phone or you can walk down and ask what has happened with this patient and why does it happen. I guess in most cases, it is actually probably that the people have been overweight. Mm-hmm. It happens a lot these days in the US.
Yeah.
And that's a normal explanation for doing more dose, for you need to apply more dose when a patient is overweight, for otherwise you don't see anything on the image.
Right.
Or, but I think in some events, you're going to find out that they have used to use the wrong protocol, or they have actually done an examination twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. For the first one was not good enough.
Right.
And then you can try to educate your people in terms of what they need to change going forward.
Yeah.
Then you can document the whole thing in a spreadsheet or in a report. You can extract the report, and when the Joint Commission comes along and audits your operation and wants to know what you as a department manager or as a VP of operation is doing for controlling your dose settings and to follow up, then you can present that and you're good.
That's yeah, you can explain your story.
Yes,
yeah,
that's the whole idea behind it.
Perfect, perfect. Here.
Okay. So let's now look at the another module, which is usage. So basically what usage tells you, and this is the overall, so you have done 5,000 patients, mm-hmm. roughly with the same number of exams.
Right.
And the overall exam time of all examinations is 9 minutes.
Right.
Doesn't tell you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what you want to do is you want to go down and find out what devices have average exam times.
Hmm.
Then you can actually drill down to a single device.
Right.
And it actually gives you the ability to look over the various numbers of usages over time.
Right.
And very interesting, especially for CT or for magnetic resonance, is that you can actually look at the various protocols that you have done.
Right.
And then you can determine have the protocols be the right ones. Have you used protocols more than once? Mm-hmm. Why are certain institutions having protocol times and duration times of 20 minutes for the same examinations? Why do some need 40 minutes? And that's the same thing, is you try to define the outliers. You try to go back, location, device, operator, and try to educate those people in terms of what has went wrong and what can we do better going forward. That's the whole idea. So continuous improvement of your operational performance.
Yeah, what I like about it, this is all trackable, data-driven type of benchmarking.
Correct. It's true machine data. So as we say, machines don't lie.
Right.
Yeah, that's basically what we're looking at.
Right. Excellent.
And last but not least, I don't want to do too much to it, but there are basically two more modules in the making. The protocol module is going to be one that is going to be really interesting for that. Basically, is going to allow you to have to look centrally at your CT and MR devices,
mm-hmm.
and to basically look centrally at protocols, change them into an ideal protocol, and redeploy them to those scanners that it can accept those.
Right.
That has been in the wish list of a lot of operational people for a long, long time.
Yeah.
So basically, try to harmonize a protocol over my whole scanner fleet. That's why we also call it fleet management.
Right. It's interesting. It's almost like once the clinicians or the radiologists figure out that secret recipe that works well, which is probably a set of different parameters, once agreed upon, you can then across the board reapply them.
Correct.
So it's consistent.
It's a highly complex, so it sounds easier than it actually is. But today the situation is that you can locally make changes and then it's not going to be detected unless somebody really looks at that. And so there is, I call it the wild, wild west in terms of protocols that are used, especially on magnetic resonance, and that's where the biggest need is.
Right, right. Well, phenomenal work. So this particular part is not out yet, correct? You're working
the,
on it?
The protocol is under development, as is the imaging part, which basically is a cloud partition for research communities that doesn't exist today. So you want to do a study on lung cancer screening, and you want to have four or five different institutions working on that. Today, they basically have send CDs around and reports around. And under the cloud partition, you basically could collaborate in a dedicated cloud sending. That's what we call images, also currently under development.
All right, excellent. It's good to see what's already available and what's to come.
Yes. Yeah. There is more to come, so I'm going to make a point that we don't want to be this a pure Siemens device, so we're going to open up the application interface to third parties.
Yeah.
So, and I think we're going to do that pretty soon, so at this year's famous Radiological Society of North America, RSNA in Chicago, we probably are able to say a little bit more about that, but we want to really build it out into an ecosystem in the cloud with different data points and different modules for Siemens applications as well for third party.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you so much. This is an amazing demo of what TeamPlay can offer.
So coming back to the cloud, yeah, we partnered with Azure, and there are many reasons for that. I think we are a big partner of Microsoft when it comes to our factories and industry sessions and stuff like that. On the healthcare side, it's a relatively new thing, but I'm very excited about that. For I think you guys provide the data privacy and security and cyber security unit that we probably are not really good at. And from the customer interactions I have, which are quite a few, and the live sites I have in the US, they like the idea of having TeamPlay hosted in Azure Cloud.
Great, great. It was great to hear that we know that you know, German folks probably hold one of the highest bar in terms of data security. And
very true. So the German law is extremely strict. Germans are terrified when it comes to data protection. That's what I'm always saying. The US is much more liberal. Yeah. So, but we're working with the German authorities, and we're making progress there too. Yes.
Yeah. Great. Great. Well, glad they met your bar, right? That's most important.
Yeah.
So, with that, how can our audience get started? Do they really want to?
Well, there is no paper. It's also fairly new. Normally, we produce a lot of paper at Siemens when we deliver those big devices. So everything is online. You can have a look at all the things, the applications, and all the data sheets online. Yeah, here's the website. You can actually hire. You can actually join TeamPlay and try it out.
Great.
Yeah, by clicking on it, registering. We would see the link. We would give you a couple of weeks, up to 90 days to play around with the system and to use it. And if you like it, then we're probably going to send somebody around asking for a little bit of a contribution fee.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. I'm sure with a small fee is well worth the value it's going to provide.
I'm 100% sure. At least my customers like it so far.
Yeah, yeah. Great, great. So hey, thank you so much for coming all the way from Germany, Kurt. Pleased to have you here. Look forward to seeing more to come from your TeamPlay solution. So with that, this is another Launchpad series episode. If you want to learn more, go to aka.ms/launchpad. Have a good day.